Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, April 8th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Victoria Chitepo, the widow of the late national hero Herbert Chitepo, has died. President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe will try all it can to make war veterans happy.
We shall try to the best of our ability to do those things that should be done in order for the rest of our lives to be a little happier than they have been.
Zimbabwe's central bank imports cash in an attempt to ease money shortages.
We are importing more cash to meet the demand, but unfortunately, it's not overnight to be received in Zimbabwe.
And as Zimbabweans speak out on the country's forthcoming 36th independence anniversary.
Whilst we are celebrating, all these people who died liberating in the war of liberation, if they're given a chance to look back and say what is happening in this country, honestly, they'll be disappointed.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Victoria Chitepo, the widow of the late national hero Herbert Chitepo, has died. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, the late 89-year-old former minister was also a member of ZANU-PF supreme decision-making body, the Politburo, was found dead today at her home by a relative. The newspaper reports that the relative who found her body had visited the home to ferry Chitepo to a ZANU-PF Central Committee meeting. The newspaper says her death was confirmed by her daughter Tokozile. Herbert Chitepo was ZANU chairperson. ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kaya was not available for comment. President Robert Mugabe says Zimbabwe will try all it can to make war veterans happy. Addressing thousands of war veterans yesterday in Harare, the president apologized for failing to hold regular meetings with the former freedom fighters over the years. The war veterans demanded a big stake in the country's political realm, including an increase in the number of ministerial posts, among several other issues. The president told the former fighters that the country will try by all means to take care of some of their needs.
You are the brave ones. I say well done to you. And thank God you're still alive. I'm sorry we have not had this opportunity before, nor have we had the facilities with which to thank you sufficiently. But as I said, we have tried now to have a ministerial facility which can, on a regular basis, tell us what should be done and done quickly. And we shall try to the best of our ability to do those things that should be done in order for the rest of our lives to be a little happier than they have been. Just a little happier, because maximum happiness is not yet possible before we create resources. But we will try our best. All of us, as you see us, will be working together. Even those in defense, those in the public service. Some of you are in the public service, in the private sector.
That was President Robert Mugabe addressing war veterans in Harare yesterday. Critics and analysts have described as grandstanding and cheap politicking promises made by President Mugabe that he's ready to step down any time if his party or the people say so. Addressing thousands of former freedom fighters in Harare yesterday, the 92-year-old leader condemned elements in his ZANU-PF party fighting for his position, saying he was still firmly in charge. He said, quote, "I'm there at the mercy of the people. If the people say go, I go. The party, I go. But if the people say we still want you, I stay. Let's get organized. Let us not bother ourselves with succession and things like that." Unquote. Political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga tells Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo that President Mugabe is simply bluffing and has no desire to leave office.
So you are sort of daring people to say, well, if you feel you no longer want me, tell me directly. But he knows that no one is going to tell him that. Even when he invited the war veterans, he invited them obviously as a stunt of daring them to say, well, come and tell me this after I've beaten you up and water-hosed you the way he did a couple of months ago. So he is clear on what he's doing, that he is daring everyone, he's challenging them. He actually understands that he is, in fact, indeed the center of power and a kind of king, a monarchical leader. This is basically what he was saying there.
If people in ZANU-PF are really fed up with Mr. Mugabe, why then can they not tell him to step down? Because he says if that were to happen, he would oblige.
Well, the reality is that he has created over the years this culture of him being infallible, this culture of him being this very fearsome leader. So the point is, people in ZANU do not respect him anymore. They actually fear him. So they cannot tell him directly. But it's natural. You can clearly see that people don't want him, but they are afraid of telling him.
That was political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Britain. In 1979, while nationalist leaders were locked in negotiations for Zimbabwe's independence in England, ordinary people waited in anticipation for a breakthrough that would bring an end to years of war and destruction. With the country's Independence Day just a week away, some Zimbabweans say the fond memories of 18th April 1980 are in stark contrast to the prevailing hardships in the country, rendering the meaning of independence meaningless. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
52-year-old Anastasia Moyo, a Blawe resident, was a teenager at the height of the Liberation War in the late 1970s. Mrs. Moyo had to abandon books after the mission school she was attending was closed in 1978 as the war was reaching its climax. Mrs. Moyo says she vividly remembers Independence Day in 1980 as she, along with her siblings and other locals, celebrated the birth of a new nation with excitement mixed with happiness and fervent hope for a brighter future.
We had believed that Zimbabwe had come. It was my two sisters and my brother, and my father had actually given in to the pressure because we were teenagers at that time. We had even wanted to go and meet Joshua Nkomo in Harare, but it failed because of logistic problems in terms of transport. We went to Baba Fields, and it was so full. People were singing the war songs that they used to sing there. It was just a hive of a happy event for the people. The air was filled with happiness.
Mrs. Moyo draws a sharp contrast between the first independence commemoration and the ones in the recent past. She says the optimism for a better life shared by the majority in 1980 is now turned into despair and frustration as life has been getting increasingly tough over the years. She says many people her age feel that despite the racial discrimination, they were better off under white rule.
Today is disastrous in that there is no industry. People are not working and there is no food on the table. Everyone is on the street. They are selling. And even if they are selling, you have the city council police who will occasionally arrest these people who are trying to make an honest living to pay rentals, to send their children to school. So it's now so painful to be in Zimbabwe.
Mpo Mhlophe, another Bulawayo resident, says Zimbabwe's independence brought with it a mixture of happiness and a sense of relief. Mhlophe's parents had been heavily involved in the armed struggle, and she, together with her siblings, often had to stay with relatives as their Pelandaba home was constantly under siege from Rhodesian security agents. For Mhlophe, Independence Day was a family affair with a number of people converging at her parents' home for a get-together in honor of the day. Retired Colonel Patron Nketa Kuchwekaya was a cadre in the Zimbabwe People's Revolutionary Army, or ZIPRA, the armed wing of ZAPU, then led by Joshua Nkomo. Kuchwekaya operated in the northern part of the country. At the end of the war, he was one of the people responsible for overseeing the movement of ZIPRA combatants into the assembly point at Rukomeji in the Zambezi Valley. Kuchwekaya spent Independence Day confined in the camp with other ex-combatants, but says there was an all-round feeling of happiness.
We were celebrating that independence has arrived. They came to deliver some OPEC beer. I think that's what we saw. There was not much activity happening, but we're rejoicing that at least the country is liberated. We just hope that things were going to work okay for everybody.
Kuchwekaya laments the prevailing hardships and says the fallen heroes who gave their lives for the independence of the country must be turning in their graves.
There is one thing that you can feel around the country, especially amongst the youngsters. Poverty is growing. The few rich are getting richer each day. People have got multiple farms, and some people have got nothing. Factories have been closed, and things are not working for everybody. Whilst we are celebrating, all these people who died liberating in the war of liberation, if they're given a chance to look back and say what is happening in this country, honestly, they'll be disappointed.
Cephas Msipa, a veteran nationalist who is one of the few senior former ZAPU members remaining, also has a very clear recollection of Independence Day. Like most nationalist leaders and thousands of Zimbabweans, Msipa, who had participated in the Lancaster House negotiations in England, was at Rufaro Stadium in the then Salisbury, where the main celebrations took place.
Oh, it was a wonderful day. You know, it was wonderful to see Prince Charles bringing down the Union Jack and Mugabe hosting the Zimbabwe flag and so on. It was a glorious moment we will ever always remember.
Msipa agrees that independence no longer has much meaning to ordinary Zimbabweans.
I know speeches will be made, promises will be made, but life is getting tougher and tougher for our people. And yet, before independence, we were giving people that hope it will be a land of plenty, a country full of milk and honey, meaning there would be enough to eat, people would be happy. But all that is not happening. The speeches you hear at Independence Day and so on are just platitudes and nothing more.
Despite the current circumstances, there is no doubt that those who were old enough to be part of the first Independence Day celebrations have pleasant memories, which most of those born after independence find hard to comprehend, owing to the problems that have been brought on by several years of economic decline. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.